Coming up, a switch you can control from the internet, a Windows phone that doesn't cost too much, and IAS has a review of the long-awaited Carbon X1 Touch from Lenovo. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. It's Before You Buy. Here he is, Brian Burnett, our technical director, pushing the buttons, making the magic happen. Look, he's going to fade that music out, then fade Leo in, and you got a review. You're doing it all, man!
Trying to.
How does he do it? So you reviewed the Lumia 820.
That I did.
This is a Windows 8 phone.
Yep, it's the budget phone for AT&T.
Right. Let's take a look.
Thanks, Leo. So, yeah, today we're taking a look at the Lumia 820 from Nokia on AT&T's network, and let's take a look at it. So, like most Windows phones, the first thing you'll notice is the vibrant screen that this phone has. It is a 800 by 480 resolution. It's a 4.3 AMOLED screen. But like a lot of Windows phones, it's super crisp and really sharp. The blacks look nice. I just really love the screens on a lot of these Windows phones, and this 820 is no exception. Text looks really sharp. The tiles look really nice. So when holding the phone, it weighs 5.6 ounces, and it feels pretty substantial. It feels like it's made well. It's got good heft to it. So on the rear, it has a Carl Zeiss 8-megapixel rear camera capable of doing 1080 HD video. It's a really sharp camera. I took some pictures outside. I took some video of my dog, Tibbs, running around in the grass. And I also did some low-light inside shots, and this camera performed really well. It does not have the image stabilization like the 920 has, but just as a point-and-shoot camera, it does a good job. So one thing I really do like about this phone that you don't find on a lot of the premium phones is a removable back. It has a 1650 milliamp battery, and I was able to get a day's worth of using the phone, no problem. But if you're going to be using the phone for over 8 hours, you'll probably want to bring a charger with you. And another nice thing about having a removable back, other than being able to replace the battery, is that it has a micro SD slot capable of up to 64 gigabytes. The internal memory on this phone is only 8 gigabytes, but the fact that you have an option of offloading some data to an SD card slot is nice. And since this is a removable back, you can get it in various colors, white, red, yellow, and blue. And also, you can buy a back that is compatible for wireless charging. So time for the pros and the cons. Pros for the Lumia 820, definitely the screen. Like a lot of Windows phones, it has a sharp screen, looks really good in dark rooms or out in bright daylight. Another pro is the removable back. It's nice to be able to take off the back and put in an SD card if you need the extra memory, or change out the battery if you have an extra one. And so for the cons, the battery life, while decent, will only get you about 9 to 10 hours depending on how you use the phone. People who might be interested in Lumia 820 are, if you're looking to get an inexpensive Windows phone with a great screen and a removable back for battery access and for a micro SD card expandability, this is a great choice. But for me, I can't recommend it because if you want wireless charging, like I might, and if you want more internal storage, it's only $100 for a 2-year contract with the 920, which is Nokia's flagship phone. All right, well, that just about sums up my review. I guess back to you in the studio, Leo.
So I didn't ask, but did you cut this part out? But did you buy it or not?
I said don't buy.
Don't buy
because it's so close to the 920. Like it's almost the same price.
What do you use, Brian Burnett, for your phone?
Actually, I use the original HTC Droid still.
Yeah. Well, it's time to get a new phone.
Yeah.
Maybe not that one, but it's time to get a new phone.
No, I've had that phone for a long time.
So you're using Android. Have you played with iPhone ever?
I have played with iPhone.
And now you've tried Windows 8 Phone 8. Which of the three do you think?
Oh, I'm so dedicated to the Android stuff that I probably stick with that. But I really like the Windows stuff, like the tiles and everything. And this phone is really great, but I couldn't
get the bigger one.
I'd go for the 920. I don't understand why
people try to save money up front, because really the big cost is the monthly fee anyway to the phone company. It's going to cost thousands over the 2-year period. So
right, and if you buy the back that has the wireless charging for the phone, it's $75. Yeah. It's only $25 more for the 920.
So forget the wireless charger, get the 920.
Yeah.
Good advice from Brian Burnett. I'm going to take a walk. Can you? Do you have the technology to?
We can do it.
Follow me. Watch this. Let's see how this works. I'm going to the living room. Look, he faded me in. I'll just climb over the seat here.
Grace.
Grace and poise, my friends. We actually have two more reviews here. One is not... You're not Shannon. You're not Shannon.
Hi.
Our producer, Shannon Morse, actually had a review, a quickie, on the Health ID profile band. Let's watch that before we go to Jason and Jeff here.
Hey, guys. I'm Shannon Morse. I'm the producer of Before You Buy, and this week I am reviewing the Health ID profile band, a.k.a. the HIP band. So hip. Now, you're probably thinking, why in the world am I reviewing a medical bracelet? That's kind of silly, right? Well, turns out, not only can you get information printed on the back of this right here, but it's also NFC capable. So you can potentially hit this thing against a cell phone that has NFC capabilities in it, and you could get all sorts of medical information about the person that is wearing it. These are kind of nice because not only are they NFC capable, but they also come in a whole bunch of different colors and designs. You don't necessarily have to have NFC for these. When you order one from Health ID Profile, it also gets your information printed on here. You get a special little Health ID Profile number, a HIP code, and you can plug this into their website or use their little app for your phone and find the information about the person that's wearing it with that HIP code. My pros and cons about this. First off, the pros are it's NFC capable, of course. Really like that. It's very, very easy to view all sorts of information about the person on your phone. It's very easily readable. And they have lots of different fashions available. I prefer purple, so I'd probably get a purple one for myself. And the cons? There's really not any. I mean, I think it's a great option for people out there, especially anybody who has medical issues. They should definitely get something like this, and this is a wonderful option. Now, it's not out on the market quite yet. It comes out in Q2, and it'll be about $50, and there will be a little subscription fee of about $3 per month. With all that said, I definitely have to give these a buy for anybody who does have any kind of medical issues that a medical procedure a doctor might need to know about. And this is Shannon Morse again for Before You Buy.
Thank you, Shannon. Shannon Morse, our Snubs, as we know, our producer for Before You Buy. This is a long-standing tradition on Before You Buy. We like to get the interns to do reviews. Jeff is one of our newest. I think you are our newest intern, actually. Where did you come from, Jeff?
Northeastern in Boston.
Northeastern. Good school.
Thank you.
And you're a co-op, so you're getting some credit for this?
Yep.
Good, because we're not paying you for nothing. And so you moved out here. I'm flattered that you moved to Petaluma just to do this. Have you learned anything?
Yep.
You learned. I'll tell you what you learned. When the CEO comes looking for you, saying, I got to get him to review this thing because I don't want to touch it, say, just disappear. Just disappear.
Maybe should have.
So this is an iPad stand. It's called the Pop Prop.
Prop and Go.
And Go.
Very prominently featured right here.
Yeah, so there it is. Like, yep. Can we get a close-up of that? Yeah, there it is.
Pop and go.
So pop it.
So basically, it's a pillow-top iPad stand. So it's soft down here.
Oh, it's soft. So, okay.
And we actually have two of them. This right here is the Prop and Go Slim.
That's the And that's for the iPad Mini?
No. It's slim
work with any
in
iPad?
Form.
Okay.
It works with actually any tablet, really. Okay. I tried it with the iPad Mini.
You could use it with a book, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works really well for if you're sitting on... Sitting on the couch,
right.
Sitting in bed, whatever.
And so this means there's many different angles.
14 angles.
14 angles. Okay.
So steps one by one, and it's actually really nice because like when you're typing or if you press it, they don't slide.
It's very solid.
Yeah, it's really
and
solid.
And show us the fat one. This is the it has it just has more cushion for pushing.
Well, couple things. And this is $35.
$35 for the slim?
Yeah. This one's $50.
Okay.
This one is actually a medium density foam, whereas that one was a low density. And I found that because it's taller and it doesn't work as well when you're trying to push, it actually does slide. And okay. It's not where this one kind of forms around your legs.
Okay.
And this one actually down here is meant to be a case also.
Oh, so you can put the iPad in there. So
it really doesn't fit well, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you could. So this would be for in bed, sitting on the couch, that kind of thing. Let me see how the iPad goes on the big
So toy. They're basically the same on the top with different bottoms.
Got it.
And like I said, it doesn't.
There's a lip. I don't know if you can see that on the other side. That's holding it up. So it's like an easel. It's propping it up.
And it works really well with the bigger tablet I found, but on the iPad mini, actually. Because the bezel's so much smaller, when you do it, there's actually some ergonomic issues trying to type because of that lip.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work so well for that. But for the bigger tablets, it's great.
Pros and cons on the prop and go.
So pros are the 14 angles that work really well, and it holds them up. They're non-slip. For the slim, I thought the price, the $35, was a pretty good pro. And the fact that it works. Cons, though, the fat one I found is just like a little ungainly. No one's really going to use it. I would never want to carry this around and use it as a case.
Right.
It's also $50, which is a bit much just for this, and it doesn't work as well.
So it sounds like you like the slim one. What, buy, try?
I give the slim a try because it's not for everyone. Obviously, it's not the most attractive thing. It's a little ugly. And definitely, I don't buy for the big one.
All right. Jeff, thank you. I appreciate it. What's your last name?
Needles.
Jeffrey Needles. And our mom and dad watching at home, you want to wave to them? Have you talked to them?
Don't worry. We let them know for you.
So yeah, we sent them a telegram. Quick.
Telegram.
Jeff's on the TV. It's really great. We're really happy to have you. Is it just for the first half of the year?
No. It's probably end of May.
Open-ended, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Next really class glad is to have in you. September.
Oh, you got some time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to have you.
Thanks.
Jeff Needles, our intern. And the prop and go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you see Jason Howell is here from TNT. And he's also the host of All About Android. So we'd like to give him the Android phones, a Pantech, to take a look at in just a minute. Before we do that, though, I'd like to tell you about stamps.com. If you do any mailing for your business, you might want to know about stamps.com. It's the best way to buy and print official U.S. postage with your computer and your printer. You don't need anything else. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need special ink or anything. Just stamps.com and what you've already got. And if you do a lot of mailing, this is a huge time savings. You don't have to go to the post office ever again. You never have to buy stamps. You've already got the right postage because you get a USB scale. You plop the letter or package on there, and stamps.com will always do exactly the right postage. This is the scale. In fact, I'm going to tell you how you can get this at virtually new cost in just a second. Stamps.com has other great convenience features, though. If you sell, if you're Etsy, Amazon, eBay, PayPal seller, for instance, it'll automatically pull the recipient's information from the website, fill in the mailing label with your address, his address, or her address. It'll send them, if you're using Priority or Express Mail, it'll send them a confirmation email with a tracking number. It does this all automatically. You've probably seen, you know, kind of professional fulfillment houses do this. Well, this is how. Stamps.com. You even get a discounts you can't get at the post office, up to 21% on Express Mail, up to 15% on Priority Mail. So I want you to try Stamps.com. If your business does a lot of mailing, this is a real pro tip. Here's what you do. Go to Stamps.com. That's the website. And you see they've got a special offer on the right, but don't fall for that. Click that radio microphone, the fun little old-timey microphone there, and type in before you buy. It's all one word, no spaces, before you, B-U-Y. And you'll see that $80 value turn into a $110 bonus. Now, that's $55 in free postage you can use over the first few months of your account. You get the digital scale I was just showing you, a $50 value. You just pay shipping and handling on that. You also get a $5 supply kit and, of course, a month free of stamps.com. Give it a try. I think you'll see it saves you money, saves you time. It's just the ultimate convenience. We love it, and I know you will too. Stamps.com. I came in here the other day. I said, do we have any stamps? Fernie says, what do you want? We got anything you want. So just print me some stamps. So she prints them up, and I took them home. You can even get, you know, like the sticky stuff, and then it's just like a label, you know. Let's say hello to Jason Howell. He is the host of All About Android and is an expert on Android phones.
I try to be.
We always give you the hottest Android. This is an AT&T device.
Yeah, it's an AT&T LTE device, so it runs on their LTE network. It is the Pantech Discover. I've never actually used before this Pantech device, and Pantech's kind of known. I would say they have a pretty big reputation for being kind of on the lower end.
To the low end. We've seen Pantech tablets at CES. Mm-hmm. We've even seen Pantech phones. Yeah, it's kind of it's an entry level phone. I guess
absolutely.
Is a better way to
absolutely.
Put it.
Yeah. And this is kind of in the same scale. Although I will say right off the top that kind of parts of the design really impressed me. For $50 with a 2-year contract with AT&T, and
actually, it's a good looking screen.
Yeah, it's an okay screen. The problem with the screen here, it's a 720p screen at 1280 by 720,
well,
4.8 inches, so that's nice. And actually, the pixel density, it's hard to kind of see those pixels, you know, when you hold it up really close. But the problem is the viewing angles. The viewing angles are pretty bad. If you go slightly off axis, you start to see it fade a little bit. And that's not just like the camera playing tricks. It really does start to fade pretty rapidly. You know, so if that's something that matters a lot to you, you can kind of start to see like maybe the, you know, because it's a lower entry phone, maybe that's
they're
part of
the... They're not using an IPS display.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's possibly where they kind of saved a little bit. But it has 16 gigs of internal storage, 1 gig of RAM. It's a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Snapdragon S4 Plus, which is the same that you get in the Galaxy S3 and the Razer HD. It's running 4.0.4 Ice Cream Sandwich.
That's a little old. I'd like to see 4.1.2.
Absolutely. Know? They have said that they're going to update it at some point. But, you know, and I mean, aside from that, yes, it's Ice Cream Sandwich, but Pantech has really skinned it like pretty significantly. So you know, you see a lot of their own kind of touches as far as the skin is concerned, little things that are kind of convenient, but you have to really ask yourself, like, is that what I want in my device? Sure, you could put a different launcher on there to kind of fake some of the stuff along those lines. Actually, here, this is kind of interesting. They have an experience changer. So right now I have it in the standard experience.
Yeah.
You can set it to the easy experience, and guess what you're going to get? You're going to get something with bigger icons.
Yeah.
Everything's a lot larger.
But that might be less intimidating than somebody for whom this is their first smartphone.
So this is your lock screen.
Well, that's
it's
easy to know
switch.
What to do. It's a switch. Yeah.
So, you know, that. Yeah, exactly. It kind of shows you right there kind of who they're targeting this towards potentially.
I like it that they have the feature, though.
That's absolutely. Kind of, that you can switch between the two and you're not locked into one or the other. It has a 12.6 megapixel rear-facing camera, which sounds nice. The pictures that it takes, I'd say, were okay. I wouldn't say that they were anything really to write home about. But, you know, 12.6 ain't bad on the spec sheet, I suppose.
12.6 megapixels?
Megapixels.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And, you know, it has some nice features, I'd say. Things like HDR built right in and very integrated into that front screen. And HDR definitely improved on a lot of the pictures that I took with it.
This is not a horrible phone. I'm impressed, actually.
It's okay.
I didn't expect so much.
Yeah, it's okay. For $50, it's okay.
Off contract, it's only $300. And that's really, I think, if you're going to look at inexpensive phones, that's what you're looking at, is if you're going to use it as a Go phone or some sort of off-contract phone. It is a little funny. Look at that bulge.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, if you actually hold it for a second, put it in your hands and kind of hold it as if you were using it, it's got a nice contoured feel, right?
It's not bad.
It feels kind of nice.
That's probably the antenna bump. You see those sometimes on
And
phones.
The backing kind of feels like the Galaxy Nexus.
It's a little
kind
rubberized.
Beveled backing. But then it has weird little design features, too.
Yeah, like, what is that?
Those
is
are speakers.
Speaker? Okay.
And actually, the speakers sound really good. The way that they face them like that, they actually sound better than others. It's just, it gives it a very strange look.
Right.
So that design isn't necessarily going to appeal to everybody.
Right. Anything unusual about it? It's still micro USB.
Yeah, it has micro SD card slot under the flap,
it's
removable
funny.
Battery.
We're used to having the on-off switch on, at least I am on Android phones, over on the right. It's not. It's on the, where is
it's
it?
It's on the top. It's on the top right there, and you have to kind of get used to that. But, I mean, ultimately, I think I was, a touch sensitivity I wasn't too thrilled with. There were a lot of times where I touched something and I had to do it two or three.
Yeah.
A little unresponsive.
That's something I think a later version of Jelly Bean might fix.
Yeah, potentially so.
Yeah.
Overall, I think I was more impressed than I thought I would be going into a Pantech review.
Right.
I'll just kind of cover the pros and cons. Nice design touches for the most part. Snappy, I'd say, in everyday use. Like I said, it's got the same guts in there as the S3 and the Razer HD, so you kind of notice that in everyday use. And obviously, it's affordable at $50. It's a nice, you know, large screen and brings a lot of capability for that low price on contract. The display, I would say, is kind of of like a positive and a negative, because there are parts of the display, like the off-axis viewing angles, that really kind of bring it down a notch. The overlay, if that's important to you, is very heavy-handed, so I'd consider that a con, potentially. It's filled with AT&T bloatware. I'm talking like 20 to 25 things that just litter through here if you go through. And there's no real way to get rid of most of them unless you install
it. You could brute it.
You potentially, that would be an option, or a launcher's a lot of times allow you to hide them after the fact. And then finally, no Jelly Bean right out of the gate. So ultimately, I guess I would have to say try. I was kind of on the fence between try and don't buy.
Now, you carry a Nexus 4, right?
No, I have the Galaxy Nexus.
The Galaxy
Nexus. Because I'm on Verizon.
But the Nexus 4 is roughly the same price. And I would think, especially if you wanted a plain vanilla
Google. Off contract, exactly. Then it would be a don't buy significantly. And that's kind of the beauty of the Nexus 4, right?
Right.
It's like premium hardware at a very low cost if you're willing to shell out the money up front and
How's
not go
battery
contract.
Life on this?
Battery life was okay. Yeah. I had it syncing 3 different emails, Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. And I was able to get through most of my days.
Just
it was
late
one
in the day.
Day.
You got 72%. I don't know if you've been charging it or not.
No, I haven't had it charged.
That's
I've had
good.
It off, but I've also been very busy with shows today.
Right.
So I haven't had the screen on a whole
you
lot.
Been
today.
Tweeting all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's been syncing a lot. And I'd say that was pretty much the case for me. I could get through an entire day.
Removable battery?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
See, as long
it's
as
a 2,000 somewhere
2,000
around
milliamp
there.
2,000 milliamp
hour
actually.
Battery.
Yeah.
And I thought it was
for a phone that size, yeah.
Yeah.
So a try.
I'd say a try.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're talking contract, going on contract for $50, it would be a try. Compare it against the options on AT&T. There may be something else. Like sometimes they're doing deals on the HTC One X, which I think if you get that for the same price, that definitely beats this. But for $50, it's a try.
$400 out of contract. I correct myself. $400 out of contract on AT&T.
So try leaning towards don't buy, but I'd
say Pantech Discover.
That's right.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Howell is the producer of Tech News Today every Monday through Friday and the host of All About Android, which is on what day?
Well, it's on tonight. It's
right
Tuesday
after this.
5 p.m. Pacific.
Later. All right.
That's right.
Every Tuesday on the Twit Network. Thank you, Jason.
You bet.
I'm going to walk.
Walk.
Should I step over the chair, do you think? What
Backflip.
Do you think? He's got the shot.
All right.
I'm losing.
You can do it.
I'm losing my backpacks here. All right. I'm going to step right over the chair. And walk all the way over to the TNT set. Because here we go with Iaz Akhtar. And I've actually been dying for this review because I'm in the market for a Windows 8 notebook. What are you laughing at?
You're in the right market.
And this is the one I thought I was going to get, to be honest with you. This is the latest from Lenovo. I love the X1 Carbon Windows 7 version. This is the new one, the Carbon Touch for Windows 8. Tell us a little bit about it.
Now, I got to review the X1 Carbon, the one that didn't have a touchscreen.
This one is
the one that has Windows 8 touchscreen, and Windows 8's all about touch. So you can bring up charms and all kinds of things. You can see all the tiles. It's Windows 8. And if you're seeing right now, it's got a matte screen. So it doesn't have a ton of reflection on it, which is pretty good, but it also hurts the viewing angles a bit. This is as bright as the screen gets. So it's got a great design. I mean, it's still as sturdy as it was before.
Yeah.
Great keyboard. The trackpad's very responsive for the gestures for Windows 8. Let's see what it's got inside. It's got a Core i5 processor, 4 gigabytes of RAM. It's incredibly fast.
How big is the hard drive?
How big is the hard drive? I don't remember. I got to go through my computer.
128 or?
Yeah, it says 150 gigabytes are free on this. Well, 150 gigabytes available.
So it was a 250.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's a partition because it's Lenovo. They always have
the recovery thing on
there. Yeah, so I'm in the desktop right now, but it's probably not showing up right on the screen. But the only thing I can see with all this white space is the screen door effect, because this display is 1600 by 900 on a 14-inch display.
That's a very low resolution.
It's kind of a depressing thing. And again, like I was saying, this has got a matte finish to it, which is really cool because you don't have a lot of reflection. But one of the things it looks like Lenovo did is they put the touch sensor like on top of the screen. If you're really close to this laptop, again, this won't show up on camera, you can actually see the layers. And there's a slight delay when you're touching things. It's just the most minuscule.
Well, that's annoying.
Compared to the Surface. I mean, this is the Surface over here, which is...
Surface is very snappy.
It's snappy. It's shiny. And the
is
other
that
thing
a Surface
is,
Pro?
This is a Surface RT.
RT, yeah.
But you can see that the difference between it is just, it's just crazy bright compared to this. And the angles on the X1 just don't cut it compared to the Surface right now. But yeah, so this is everyone was disappointed who got to see the screen. on the X1.
Well, I was really, I thought this was going to be the Windows 8 laptop I was going to get. And yeah. And you said, well, let me wait. And we took a look at it. And I have to admit, I was a little disappointed. Well, let's get the pros and cons.
Okay.
This is on the X1 Carbon Touch from Lenovo.
On the pros, solid build. It's incredibly fast. It does a great job as an actual laptop. Right. It's got a great design. Like I said, sturdy, great keyboard, responsive touchscreen, responsive touchpad. It's even got the track point if you're a Lenovo fan and you like using that. Some built-in software if you miss the start button. There's Lenovo's fake start button for you if you miss that. That's the pros on it. On the cons, it's expensive. It starts off at $1,500.
For an i5 and 4 gigs of RAM?
That's right. The base model is
$1,500. Holy moly.
There's also a weird thing with the bezel here. Like on the right side, since you're always going to be doing the charms bar,
right.
This bezel isn't really enough for your finger. So you're touching this plastic.
It's very small.
And the actual metal. The glass. So you feel that seam every right. single time. It's kind of a
and
lousy
that's a
touch.
Move you do a lot in Windows 8.
That's where your start screen lives. And this screen just doesn't cut it. This is a premium laptop, right. $1,500.
Should have a better screen.
Should have a much better screen, and it shouldn't look this bad off angle.
Just in comparison, this is the laptop from Acer that Father Robert Ballester reviewed, the S7. He's the one, he told me, get this one. And it's roughly the same price, maybe a little bit more expensive, but thinner, lighter, much better screen on this S7. And this is an i7 processor.
i7 on that, that's pretty... I mean, you can get an i7 on the X1.
But you're going to pay even more.
You got to pay more, and the weird thing is you can't even upgrade the screen. So if you wanted a 1920 by 1080 or something
and
similar...
And this has a 1920 by 1080 IPS screen.
Not an option.
Screen,
I got to say...
It just looks gorgeous.
With the competition out there, as that
compare
S7...
Compare the two, which one would you buy?
I'd pick the Acer...
And can yours do this?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Oh, all right.
We can do that just fine. But this is definitely...
I'll flatten it out just so
this
you know.
Is definitely a don't buy for the price, unfortunately.
Oh, that's disappointing.
X1 is awesome. X1 Touch... Not so much.
Well, after we talked before the show today, but after we talked, I thought a little bit about it, and I said, all right, well, you've put me over the top. I was waiting to see the Carbon X1 Touch, and I decided to get the Acer S7 instead. And I have to say, I've only had it for the day, but so far I'm really happy. These are at the higher end. Mm-hmm. For ultrabooks, when you're talking $1,500, I mean, most ultrabooks are a lot less, you know, $1,000 or even less.
Even some of the lower end ones, I saw had better screens. You didn't have that weird bezel issue.
When you're paying that much, you should have a great screen.
Absolutely, you really
should. Thank you, Ayaz Akhtar. Ayaz is the host of Tech News Today, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 mm-hmm. UTC on Twitter, and of course of Know How, which we do every Thursday. It's our project show where we get together and do stuff. And in fact, we were talking about this Wemo, and I thought I would like you to stick around because I want to show you. This is the Belkin Wemo. This came out about last year, and I ordered it immediately. I still didn't get mine, but I'm glad I got a chance to review it today. So this is a whole new category that we're seeing a lot of stuff in the Nest thermostat, the Hue lights, both of which I've already reviewed. This fits right in with that. The idea is these are switches, power switches, that you control with your iPhone over the internet. Isn't that an interesting idea? So let me show you this is the $100 kit for the Wemo, which includes two Wemo devices. This is a power switch. So you see I've plugged a lamp into the power switch. And this is the motion sensor. You can buy them separately, $40 and $60, or you can buy them, $50 and $60, or you can buy them in a kit. And you probably will want the kit because they work together. So I've got the motion sensor set up. Here's the little motion sensor here. And what's interesting, unlike Nest, actually Nest uses Wi-Fi, but unlike the Hue, this doesn't use Z-Wave or Zigbee or some home automation protocol. It actually uses Wi-Fi. So these are on the Wi-Fi network. You set them up using your iPhone. There's no Android software to date, which is a little bit unfortunate. You have to have an iPhone, or in this case, I used an iPad. You connect your iPad initially, the Wi-Fi, you connect to the Wemo, and you configure it, and then you get back on your regular Wi-Fi. So you can see, it sees this is the Wemo switch, and then it also sees, and I named it Motion Boy, my little motion detector. You do want to name these, and you have the opportunity to do this, because you can have multiple devices in your house. So for instance, you might have a motion detector in each room. You might have a switch in every room, and by doing that, or many switches in every room, you can set up programs like, for instance, when somebody walks into a room, the lights come on, or even more useful, and all of these can be done in the rules section here, even more useful if nobody's been in a room for half an hour, turn off all the lights. If you don't detect motion for a period of time, turn off all the lights. You can also use your iPhone or iPad and go online and turn off devices or on devices remotely. You can do it by schedule, just like any kind of standard timer system. If you, they use as an example, you attach your curling iron to this. If you forget, gee, did I turn off my curling iron or not? You can actually go on your iPhone
and
turn it off.
This is the kind of problem you have, Leo.
I always leave the curling iron on. Actually, you know what's most interesting? This ties into If This Then That. You know what? That's the website where you can write programs. So you can write crazy programs. Like if somebody walks in my house and the motion detector goes off, tweet me. Or send me an email. You can make very complex programs, in effect, by using If This Then That, the simple rules on here. I think this is really an interesting idea. When we first set it up, I had to wait a while for the firmware to update. That's kind of gotten to be pretty much the state of the art everywhere now. But it works fine. I've got this lamp set up. Of course, there's too much motion here in the studio, and you can't see this lamp anyway because we've got plenty of lights here anyway. But if I were to walk away, I've set up a program called Let Darkness Reign that if I were to walk away after a minute, this lamp would turn itself off. You can also have another program that turns it on if you walk in the room. Yeah, it's on. You can tell. The problem is, to get it to go off, I'd have to walk away, and I'm not going to do that. I can switch it off directly right from the sensor. Oh, by the way, Motion Boy, you see he says, ooh, I sense motion. So you can actually see what's going on the thing. I could turn off the light just by pressing that button right there.
See?
Oh, Motion Boy turned it back on. Did you see that? Let me do it again. I'll turn it off. And as soon as I move, Motion Boy turns it back on. So, I mean, that's a very rudimentary demonstration, but the point is, it works.
The other thing is, you could put these things out of the way because that motion sensor has a long tail to it, so you could put that plug somewhere else.
Yes,
and then
the motion sensor could be somewhere else in the living room. I love the idea of playing with the programming on this, and what I really like is the day, not too far in the distant future, perhaps, when we can have all of this stuff talking to each other. I mean, Nest, Hue, Wemo, they should all be talking if this and that. We can have rules set up for all of them. And then you can walk in the door and a symphony could play. Who knows? You can have all sorts of things. So the pros and cons, it's a little expensive as a con, of course. It's $100 for the two of them. If you're going to wire a whole house, you could spend many hundreds of dollars after a while. But the pros are it works as expected. It does have an iPhone app, con, no Android app. I wish it did. And as far as I can tell, I can't really do this from the website either, but I haven't played with it enough. I can control it, however, from If This Then That, the website, which is fantastic. And that works really well. So all in all, I think this is a definite buy. If you're into home automation, this is the easiest home automation I've seen. It works with Wi-Fi, so you do have to have Wi-Fi in your house, but it works seamlessly and very easily. And, of course, I love the idea of being able to write programs for my switches. I can only imagine what I could be doing. Let me just power off this light here. Turn that off.
You're going to attach it to your Withings scale?
What?
You could attach it to your Withings scale, or whenever time you get an email, a light could go on.
Oh, I like that.
It'd annoy the heck out of you with emails that way.
You could. You could actually have different, and see if I get this to work with the
switch the colors as you get different mails.
If I can get this to work with Hue, I could say, you know, red emails from Iaz, green emails from my mom.
Yeah, the good ones.
That kind of thing. I love, this is a category I'm so excited about, and I have to say, these work great, just as expected. I haven't had use for them for months, so it may be that there are some long-term problems. I'll let you know. We'll come back and give you a further review. But so far, a definite buy on the Belkin Wemo, Wemo. And that's that for this week's Before You Buy. Holy cow, let me just turn off that light. It's very annoying. We'd like to thank all of our... Don't move. Don't anybody move. We'd like to thank all of our reviewers today, including especially Jeff Needles, our intern who did a great review, Shannon Morse, Jason Howell, I.S. Akhtar, and I left somebody out. Who have I left out? Oh, Brian Burnett, our technical director. Thanks for running the board and for your review. Thank you, Shannon, for producing the show. If you want to email us with a request, turn that light off, for something that you'd like to see on the show, Maybe if I just put the motion sensor under here. Just send it to BYB at twit.tv, and we'll get right on it. You can watch our reviews in their entirety at twit.tv/BYB. But you can also go to YouTube. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. And we have short versions of all the reviews, long versions, and the full show there as well. It's youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. We do Before You Buy every Tuesday. The Wemo's playing music now. Was that you?
I don't think so.
I think my symphony's coming true.
It was the Pantech. The Pantech wanted to say something more about the review.
We do this show every Tuesday around about 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Let's see. 3 plus 12 is 15 plus 8, 2300 UTC. That's how you do it right there on twit.tv. Do join us live because we really love to have you in the chat room yelling at us. Thanks for being here. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy. See you later. Bye-bye.